When we look through the pages of Scripture, we find there are two types of messages that are delivered by the various ones that teach. And they can be described with various different names. Sometimes it's positive and negative. Sometimes it's encouragement and warning, strengthening and edifying, and giving attention to problems, all sorts of ways that we can describe these. But all instruction, both spiritual and even in our everyday life, in general, falls into one of these two categories: encouragement or warning. When we go look at the teaching that is delivered in the Old Testament, we find that there are encouraging statements given to various ones to strengthen and help them in a time of difficulty and struggle. And then there are warnings that are passed out to some of those same ones to get them to straighten up some problem that they're in. And the same is true of us today. We need both kinds of teaching in order for us to have a full-rounded and complete understanding and to be able to receive all the things that we need. Sometimes when we are teaching our children, we have to be quiet and calm and comforting and encouraging to them because of whatever is going on in their particular situation at that time. And in other times, we have to be very strong and maybe even rebuking because of the particular place that they're in their activities and in their conduct. Sometimes we need comforting lessons to help us deal with discouragement and loss and pain and suffering. And other times we need some snatching out of the fire, to use a scriptural phrase, a warning that we need to take God more seriously. Of course, part of the problem with standing before an audience on a regular basis, a varied audience, which not quite as varied as normal this evening, but still we're a varied audience, is determining which to speak. And so this evening we're going to talk about the need for both encouragement and warning. We'll talk a little bit about how the Scripture can supply either need and the need for us to have both in our lives, because it's the circumstances in which we're in at a particular time that determines which is the best way to approach what that situation is. If we're struggling and doubting, if we're concerned about our ability to remain faithful, if we've got loss, if we've got pain, if we've got difficulty in our life that we're having to work through and to deal with, we're going to be much more receptive to a comforting message, a message of encouragement, a message that reminds us that we need to put our trust in God and lean upon Him. We need to turn to Him and He can help us to bear through with those difficulties. And we don't approach that from the standpoint of, you've got to do this. We approach it from the standpoint of, look at how God cares for us. Look at what God has done in order to help us. Sometimes we go back to the stories of the Old Testament and we'll look at stories like God's care for Abraham or God's care for the Israelites as they engaged in the various things and got themselves in trouble, and God came and He helped them to overcome. The book of Judges, while oftentimes we look at it as God exercising His wrath upon the Israelites because they turned away from Him, there's also a lot of comfort in the book of Judges for the Israelites. Because when they turned away from God and they realized where they were and they called back out to God, God was there for them. The reason that Gideon was called was to relieve the oppression of the Midianites over the Israelites. The reason that Deborah and Barak judged as they did and engaged in the activities they did was because God led them to bring the Israelites back. Sometimes we forget when we read about Samson and all the things that he was engaged in and all the things that happened to him. He was doing that because that was God's way
of helping the Israelites with the Philistine oppression. The book of Judges can be a book of great comfort. Sometimes when we think about comforting words, we want to turn to maybe Job, or maybe something we might read in the Psalms or in the Proverbs. But the lesson of comfort, of God watching out and caring for His people, can be found in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, and Joshua, and Judges, various times in the Kings and the Chronicles. They're stories of God caring for His people. And that's what we need when we're struggling, when we're having difficulty, when we're having problems, and when we're faced with death in our family, or serious illness or sickness. We need to know that God is there for us. Passages such as we might read in John chapter 16 and verse 33, where Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." A passage of encouragement, of ability to trust in God. Or as Peter and some of the others say, cast your cares upon God, for He cares for you. For Jesus saying, "All you who are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest." These are passages of encouragement, of a reminder that God is there for us. Sometimes we need those, most importantly. Other times, because we have become overconfident in our own abilities to overcome the difficulties of life, or we've become lax in our service unto the Lord, we need to hear rebuke. We need a warning. We need God in His Word to come to us and say, "Stop doing that. Look out." Just like we would a child that was headed out into the middle of the street. We would scream very loudly, "Look out. Stop. Don't go there." Because there's a need for extreme measures, for warnings to go out. And we would need rebuking passages, such as we might find when, after Moses had reminded the Israelites of all the things that God had done for them, he reminded them also of the curses that God said would come upon them if they turned away from Him. Or the passage that we read of in the story of David, where Nathan came to him and said, "Thou art the man." I don't know whether he wagged his finger in his face or not, but I always see it that way. "Thou art the man. You're the one. You're the prophet." Or Elijah, when he came to Ahab, and Ahab said, "Here's the trouble of Israel." And Elijah said, "No, you're the one causing the problem." Or like we see in the letter written to the church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, "I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth." Or like when Paul wrote to the Corinthian brethren and said, "These things ought not so to be. Got to be united, not divided." Or passage we looked at this morning, Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. "The one who would teach something other than the gospel that's been presented, he's to be accursed." These are warning passages. These are scriptures that we need to hear. Now, the ones we talk about that are comfort and strengthening and trust in God, those are passages that we might turn to ourselves sometimes. But when we need a rebuke, we need a warning, we're probably not likely to turn to those on our own. We need somebody that will be willing to tell us those passages, will present those things to us because of what we need to hear. We need to recognize that both kinds are needed, and that the Scripture has whatever it is that we need in order for us to be encouraged and built up and strengthened, whether it is a tearing down of our wrongness or building up of our rightness. Some would look at the scriptures and say, well, we look and we see in one place he talks about the love and care and concern of God, and then we turn over somewhere else and it talks about how God's going to pour out his wrath, and how can we believe any kind of word that's going to have both extremes there? Well, because we need both extremes at some time or another in our life. Sometimes we wish there was a middle road that we could travel. We could just walk down this pathway. We hear pretty much all good things and maybe a little warning every now and then, just of a calm nature, just a reminder maybe, we might think. But our life is not a life of walking down the middle in calmness and serenity. It's a life of dealing with extremes. And so we need both. We turn to passages, and like we do in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, and we can receive solace and security and comfort, knowing, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. A passage that strengthens our understanding of God's care and concern for us and his willingness to be there for us and to help us and his desire that we come to him with confidence, knowing that he's always there for us. And then we read, like Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29, therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Some look at those and say, those two passages are at odds with each other, but they're not. They're dealing with two different sides. Dealing with two different situations. One is giving solace and security to one who needs that. The other is stressing reverence and responsibility. And we need both. They address different needs. And as we go through life, the various things that we're going to deal with, from the time that we are very young until we are very old, the life lessons that we'll learn while we're going to school, while we're married and engaged in those things together as husband and wife, raising children, then our children moving out and we're back to just husband and wife again, and then grandchildren, not to mention job and all those other society obligations that we have to deal with. We're going to need both. We need a familiarity with God's Word that allows us to receive and accept both. Oftentimes when we talk about such things, as we mentioned a moment ago, when we need strengthening, when we need encouragement, we're quick to turn to those passages on our own. When we're in sorrow, when we're in pain, it's something that we naturally do. We turn over to passages that remind us that God is there for us, and we can put our trust in Him, and He will care for us. We can remember the statements that are made in Matthew chapter 6 that God will provide for those who are His children, or as we looked at in the book of James some as well, that we can go to God and He will help us with these things. But we also need to be willing that when we look in our life and we find that there is something that may be less than what it ought to be, or we have someone of our brothers or sisters that comes to us and says, there's something that's not right that you need to set straight, we need to be willing to listen to those passages as well. Of course, one of the challenges that we have in a congregation, whether we're talking about one another, or one of the challenges that I find myself having to deal with on a week-to-week basis, is which one do I do? Because at any given time, there may be a dozen people that need to be encouraged and strengthened and built up and given the resources to help them to depend upon God, while there's a half a dozen or less over here that needs to be told, get up and get busy. Straighten out that problem that you got going on. Sometimes, when we are gathered together and we're listening to a lesson, we're considering the things that are being said, and I think, well, now, that really has nothing to do with me. That's really not a help to me at all. It doesn't assist me. Well, it's quite possible that that's because you're maybe one of those that just needs some encouragement. And there's somebody else out here that needs a very strong rebuke, or some others that need a very strong reminder. So yes, that particular lesson might not be as beneficial to you as another lesson might be. But then come the next Sunday, it may be the other way around. Or that Sunday night. I also think that's why it's important that we come together regularly. And it's important that we take the time to read and study the Bible for ourselves. I think that's why it's important that we come to Bible class, so that we can study with one another. We can deal with those one-on-one issues a little better in Bible class than we can in an assembly such as this. Because we can have questions and we can talk about the things that might be giving struggles and difficulties to various ones, and more than one can offer that encouragement or that scripture of rebuke and reminder. It's also a good reason for us to take opportunity to engage in study in other places, other opportunities. I say that because there are so many different ways that we can read from and study the Bible available to us today. There's still gospel meetings going on in the various towns around us. We can go and we can hear the gospel from there, but there's also places where we can go online. We can hear lessons that have been presented by others. Or maybe we can go back and listen to lessons that have already been presented here that might be of use to us today. Maybe even more so than they were when they were presented to start with. We need to take advantage of those opportunities. Make sure that we don't allow the fact that the preacher's not preaching directly to me every time that we gather to keep us from wanting to come together with Christians. And the other way around, don't let the fact that I think the preacher's always preaching to me keep you from coming as well. Because I'll be honest with you, it's quite possible the preacher may not even know whether that lesson applies directly to you or not. We need the variedness. We need all of God's Word. And that's the reason for considering these things this evening, for looking at this. We need to preach and teach and study and read and make a part of our life every part of the Word of God. It would be great if all we ever had to do was encourage one another. Reminding one another that God is there for us and He's got a home waiting for us in heaven, and it's going to be there. But that's not how life works out. If we're on a steady diet of God will take care of me, we're going to stray. Almost guaranteed. We're going to stray. We can see that in some of the religious bodies around us, who, while their message is always one of God is love and God will care for me and God wants me to be saved, we look at how the individuals conduct themselves and we see that they don't live a life that is in accordance with the will of God. Because they've developed the attitude that whatever I do, God's going to take care of it. Very easy for us to fall into that trap as well, though, especially with our own individual study. We need to take time to read those passages that rebuke sin, that tell us that we need to stay away from certain things, because we need all of Scripture. If you would turn over to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to read a passage. We use this passage oftentimes to talk about the body of Christ, and I think that's where the Apostle Paul is going with the things that he discusses here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 14. But I think there are some applications of principle that fit the things that we're talking about this evening as well. Paul says, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, 'Because I'm not the hand, I'm not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less the part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are more necessary. And those members of the body which seem to be less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacks, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care one of another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. When we look at this passage in light of the church and the variedness of the body, we emphasize the fact that each of us have our own talents. We each have our own responsibilities, and we need to fulfill that part. And just because I'm fulfilling my duty does not mean that I'm any better than somebody else is fulfilling their duty. Just because it may seem that what I'm doing is more important than the other things that are being done does not mean that it makes me any more a part of the body of Christ than what anybody else would be. And then Paul goes in and he talks about how those things that are less pleasant have the more honor. And here's where I think we have a principle that maybe we need to apply, especially in our own individual study. And in giving attention to the messages that are being presented to us, whether it be in our Bible class or in listening to a sermon online or listening to a sermon as it's presented in the assembly. That which I think I need the least could very well be what I need the most. Paul talks about how those parts of the body that we think are less important are actually more important or have more honor. That principle applies to the things that we receive out of the Word of God. Yes, oftentimes we can recognize that I need some strengthening. I need some encouragement. But what if our disappointment, what if our sorrow, what if I hesitate to say slothfulness because it's not really that, but what if our sluggishness is not because we need to be reminded that God is there for us and He's going to protect us and He's going to help us, but that we need to be reminded that we've got to stay busy? What if our disappointment with how things are going is not because we have forgotten that God is there for us and that God loves us, but it's because we've slacked off on doing what we know we're supposed to do? You see what I'm saying? Oftentimes, what we think we need the least is what we need the most. Sometimes we need the emphasis to be placed upon warning, because that will counterbalance our feelings of assurance and confidence. When we begin to develop the attitude of, I'm doing great, everything's fine, everything's going well, I just need somebody to continue to remind me and build me up and give me some positive ideas and everything's going to be great. What we've done is we've developed an attitude of more self-worth than we actually have. And we need to be called down. That's why I say, even in our individual study, we need a well-rounded diet of the Word of God. We need to go and we need to read those passages that remind us of our dependence upon God completely. But we also need those passages that tell us about how hard we have to work. Not only do we need to hear Jesus say, cast your burdens upon me. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. But we also need to hear what the Apostle Paul said, brethren, I know you've been working very hard, and work harder. We need both sides. Variety is required in order for us to survive this world and enter into the life that is promised to those who are faithful to the Lord. Not stagnation, not I'm focused on the love of God and I'm going to give all my attention to how much God loves me and cares for me and wants me to be saved. But also, we need to consider the reminders that are found in Scripture of I need to get busy, I need to be diligent, I need to be serving the Lord, I need to be putting forth all the effort that I possibly can to do that which is right. Because while I cannot save myself, God won't save me if I don't serve Him. I need both sides. Hallelujah. This is a lesson that all of us need. It's a lesson that's a reminder that we need to look in both directions. We need to consider all aspects of Scripture. And it's something we need to be reminded of from time to time. Convinced that most of us have lived our lives in a manner that has kept us close to God. We read the Word of God and consider what He said and guide our lives, at least for the most part, in accordance with the things that are found in the pages of Scripture. But that can be a danger in and of itself, because we begin to become satisfied with where we are, complacent. But I've served the Lord all these years, and I know the Lord loves me. Therefore, maybe I don't have to work so hard now. There's no passage in the pages of Scripture anywhere that says, when you've done enough, you can take it easy for a while. Every passage talks about how we are to serve the Lord with every fiber of our being, with diligence, as long as we're here on the earth. Our rest, as the Hebrew writer tells us, remains. It's for later. We've got work to do now. Yes, we need to trust in God and put our hope in Him and His Word. But we need to do His will. With diligence. Constantly striving. Those thoughts in mind. When you look at your life, how much time in your life are you giving to the Lord? I'm not talking about how many hours you read in the Bible, how much time you spend studying for your Bible class lesson, but how much time in your life do you give to the Lord? When you go to the Walmart to buy groceries, are you exercising yourself in the service to the Lord while you're there? When you're sitting at home, relaxing, are you going on vacation? To get some time away, get some time to myself, are you still exercising yourself in the service to the Lord? God wants us to give 100% to Him. We talked about you can't serve both God and the world. It's one or the other. God needs to permeate all aspects of our life. That's what the Scripture teaches us. If you look this evening and find your sins in your life that are not in service to the Lord, it's time to take a long, hard look at your sins. Determine whether you want to serve God or you want to serve Him. Child of God, I've allowed your life to slip back into the world. You need to repent and pray to God and ask Him to forgive so that you might be pleasing God in your sight. If you will pray
pray to God. John promises us that if we will confess our sins to God, we will give ourselves over to turning away from those sins that are wrong, He will wipe those sins away. Not sure. God is until you are willing to turn away from all the things that are against the Lord, and you are not wholly over serving Him, you're going to be without love. Your will to give your life completely to the Lord, submitting wholly to His will, doing what He has said, no matter what anybody else might say. You can confess your belief in the Savior as the Son of God. Turn from your sins, you can be buried in baptism and have your sins washed away. Become a new creature, a child of God. The one that belongs to the world. The one that belongs to God. If you look this evening and find there's something in your life that turn against you and assist with getting right, when I come, that you desire to know what I say.